Today on the Inside Flap.
And she got so excited. My mom, who's, you know, 70, I think 76 yeah. years old. And she said, oh. And she said, okay, I'm going to go start. And I was like, okay, great. This is really good for her. You know, she's retired. She travels and stuff. But this will be something fun for her to do. She calls me the next day and she goes, I'm done. And I was like, what? I was like, you have not paid your dues. You
no.
didn't cry over this. You
no.
didn't sink into depression ever. When I finished a single light, I came down. I always finish in the morning, and right around 7:30, it always works out that way. I came down and I said to my husband, I'm done. I'm done. And he said, oh, that's great, honey. Can you bathe now?
The Inside Flap is available on demand every week on iTunes, Stitcher, the Google Play Store, and around the world on theinsideflap.com.
Podcasting live from Littleton, Colorado, this is the Inside Chat Podcast, our midweek interview special. My name is Dave Medicus. Thank you so much for joining me. Seated across the table to my left is Laura Medicus.
Howdy.
Howdy. Thank you guys for joining us. We got a special midweek treat. Mm-hmm. This week, we are joined by author Tosca Lee. We'll be talking to us in just a few minutes, and we're excited to bring that conversation to you. Now, Laura, you talked about Tosca's book,
The Line Between.
Back, right?
Yeah, I did. And The Line Between is a end of the world type of book. This was the one that had
Wait a second here. Are you telling me that you read a book that is based upon the end of the...
No, it's hard to believe.
What?
It's shocking.
I find it shocking.
It is shocking.
Well,
that's quite shocking.
Your theme song.
It is
right
my theme
there,
song.
Actually, yeah.
This book, sometimes books, I read a lot of books that I like.
Sometimes. You like to read books you like, yes.
Listen,
yes,
some listen. Books, though, reach hey, out to me in a way that other books don't. Even
right.
though I may like them equally, some books will reach out to me in a weird way where I really like that book.
Right.
And I really liked The Line Between. And then Tosca sent me a single light, which is a sequel.
She did. Now, wasn't that nice of her? Unsolicited.
It was really nice. I read it in almost a night, which is sad because then I was done.
Yes.
And
I think
I
it
just
was Metallica who taught us that it was sad but true.
I loved both books so much. And I have never read a Tosca Lee book. And in a way, again, I'm kind of glad because now I get to catch up.
Yeah. So you talked about The Line Between back on episode 56. So you guys go back and check that out.
Yeah.
And
I can't wait. She looks like she writes like fantasy stuff also. And I love fantasy. I'm just excited about discovering her as a writer.
Yeah,
basically.
For sure. So let's go ahead and play you that conversation right now. Here's our chat with the very entertaining and delightful Tosca Lee.
Don't they know it's the end of the world, 'cause you don't love me anymore.
Loved your books, The Line Between and the sequel, A Single Light. I loved them so much that I don't know why. I read a lot of thrillers, but these in particular hit on something within me in a way that I think most thrillers don't. I loved the end of the world scenario, the cult. I loved winter. It was a ride, and I was wondering what inspired you to write this series.
Well, it was the headlines, actually, scarily enough.
Oh, yeah.
I was reading a newspaper online on my phone, and it was an article about a reindeer carcass that thawed in the melting Siberian permafrost, and when it thawed, they found out that it was infected with anthrax, and it made a nearby village sick, and a young boy died. And I remember reading this, thinking that's horrific and morbidly fascinating and really scary. And then this slew of other headlines came up after it, and they were about scientists being, curious at best and cautious and worried at worst about other things that could be coming out of the melting permafrost. And they have actually been able to to germinate seeds that have come out that are tens of thousands of years old. You know, there's all this talk of zombie microbes and stuff like that, stuff that basically is still viable. So I took that idea with me to New York to a meeting with my publisher, along with a list of other potential ideas. And one of the ideas on the list was about a young woman leaving a cult. And my publisher said, I like this one and this one, and I think you should put them together. And I thought he was high. I was like, what? but I said, okay. And that's how it happened. So I wish I could take credit for the mashup, but I really can't. So.
Oh man, I love reading about cults. Don't know why, but I find them really fascinating. Probably a lot of people do.
Well, I think
do
too. She secretly wishes she were in one.
No, really. I definitely don't.
And by in one, I mean leading one. That's the truth of the matter.
Did you have some fun thinking about what kind of cult to create?
You know, I did. I am also fascinated with cults, and so the research was really interesting.
So
I studied everything from the whole, you know, Branch Davidian, David Koresh.
He is David Koresh-like.
Yeah,
your guy.
To Jonestown, to the Latter-day Saints that are, you know, led by Warren Jeffs, who's in prison, of course. So it was the very fundamentalist sect of that. And so it was fascinating. And it is really interesting, kind of scary.
If you were going to lead your own cult, like what would it be? What would that be called me about?
Gourmet food cult.
I like that.
Oh, lots of bacon.
That's an easy one. Bacon cult. I could get behind that one. That sounds pretty damn good right there. Yeah.
That's really funny. We live right near a bacon social house.
That's right. So, yes.
Yeah.
Yum.
Yeah. Your cult leader collected rare grains. And I've read a little bit about this in other stories, but I haven't really understood the importance of this. Did you do any research about the importance of ancient grains to civilization?
I did. And it's really fascinating. And it's, you know, also a kind of alarming to learn how much of our seed variety has been, you know, lost to our modern day diets, even in just the last 80 or so years, a huge percentage. And so we don't have the kind of variety in vegetables and grains and, you know, leafy things and all that stuff that in our diets that we used to. So no wonder we're not as healthy as we used to be. And there are actually groups that are trying to, you know, reintroduce or rediscover, you know, ancient seeds. And there is a real seed hunter, kind of an Indiana Jones of ancient seeds, who goes out looking for things like this. So really interesting stuff that I had no idea about.
Yeah, I didn't either. And then I know at the back of your first book, you had like, this is where you can buy heirloom seeds, and you were encouraging your readers to do so. And it got me really fired up. Of course, it's January.
Yeah.
but have you done anything like that in your own garden? Do you garden at all?
Well, I don't, because I am a plant killer. I'm married to a farmer even.
Oh, wow.
So, but my mother-in-law, who same square section out in the country as we do, has a ginormous garden. So I have purchased a bunch of these seeds from these companies that I've mentioned in the back of the book, and given her a bunch of those. And so she's grown them, and they're delicious and wonderful and fun, you know, to watch grow, because they are different than the normal stuff you would find in the grocery store.
Yeah.
You're just raising the hogs for the bacon, clearly. That's
We don't have any animals.
Okay.
Yeah, no animals.
Yeah, and then I just realized that Winter was a vegetarian, I believe. But as part of that
she
cult.
Was,
yeah, which kind of might help save her at some point.
Yeah. So, I am not a vegetarian, so
clearly.
One would hope not.
One would hope not.
You're starting a bacon cult.
I know. So the there was also a really exciting race to get from Chicago to Fort Collins, Colorado, and we're calling you from Littleton, Colorado. In your first book, I loved it. I could picture this this like kind of from car to car, and then it's snow and there's barns and there's crazy people out, you know, near the sand hills and all kinds of stuff. Have you ever made that drive?
I have. I live in Nebraska, so And actually, when you mentioned the book in your podcast before, we were driving home from Colorado when we were listening to it. So,
how about that?
Yeah, we were just passing through the Denver area. In fact, so,
oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, and I went to Fort Collins, and I actually went onto the campus that's mentioned there and wandered around with my sister, and I probably came this close to getting kicked out because I'm sure we looked really suspicious.
That's a beautiful campus up there, though. I like it. It's a nice little town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What part of Nebraska are you in?
Well, we live near Fremont, and also have a small town home in Lincoln as well. So we came out here when I was really young because my dad taught at the university for 35 years before he retired. So that's what brought us out here.
What did he teach?
He taught business management. And actually, he and my mother met in Colorado when my mother was working at Coors.
Golden Colorado. Yeah.
How disappointed was your father then when you became an author?
No, not disappointed at all, actually. He the instigator and encourager in that whole thing. Yeah, you know, I was 19 when I said I think I'd really like to write a book because I just enjoyed the thrill ride of reading other people's books, and I wondered if I could do the same thing. And I was supposed to work at a bank that summer for the second summer, and I was so bad at being a bank teller.
It's so not boring. Even
yeah. And my dad said, I will make you a deal. I'll pay you what you would have made working at the bank if you take this summer, write your first novel, do it full-time, treat it
That's
like a job.
Good dad
and so
right
I
there.
Did. Yeah.
Oh, shout out to dad. What a That's good dad. Awesome.
What, what kind of books were you reading as a kid growing up that kind of inspired you?
Well, the book that I was talking about with him was The Mists of Avalon, which is really thick book about the women behind King Arthur's throne. And so I loved historical fiction. I loved fantasy fiction. So,
Really
and, and is that the book that you set out to write, a fantasy book?
Yeah, I wrote like a historical fantasy fiction about the Neolithic people of Stonehenge because, you know, of course I couldn't do something simple. And it was really a terrible book. It was really bad. I mean, it's in a crate in my basement still. And, you know,
Dad, I'm going to need
a... never going to see the light of day.
That's really funny.
I'm going to need another couple thousand bucks to fly over to London. See this Stonehenge thing. Like, see what's going on over there.
So, getting back to a I'm just like a fan on a mission right now. So in A Single Light, there you have a hospital that is filled with diseased, mentally ill people. And winter enters us, and it was straight out of my nightmares, and I still can think about it and just shudder. Was it fun to write about, or did that frighten you?
It was frightening, and it was such a despondent scene and such a sad scene, and it was scary.
It's terrifying.
Just really sad. It was sad, I think, most of all.
Yeah. And I definitely have prepper fantasies, but I haven't acted on them. So, you know, don't have a generator, don't have water in the basement. I just But reading your books did make me want to prepare for something. Have you made any preparations for natural disaster or terrorism?
No, I haven't, but I have many times looked around the farm, looked at my hunter fisherman husband and sons and thought, okay, if it happens,
we'll
I think
fine.
We're going to be home. You know, we've got our own well, you know, we drink our own well water out here.
Oh, nice.
These guys know how to hunt and, you know, fish, and I think we'd at least be okay for a while. So I would not have anything to contribute to the scenario. So I don't know. I might be the first one to be let go or, you know, told to go out on the ice and die or something.
That's funny.
That's
funny.
No. What kind of things would you prepare, though, if you had to take some stuff down into a bunker, the silo? What would you take with you?
Well, a lot of books and a generator and all my favorite foods that I could possibly get down there. And
which authors would you take?
Good entertainment, I guess, and and some water, whatever, you know, some kind of purification system. You know, there are actually places that have these underground bunkers made out of old silos and things like that where you can buy into them for like a cool million.
I didn't know that. Yep. Huh. Did you
they even have LED windows that look like you're looking
just
outside,
like in the book.
Which was the inspiration for the one in the book.
Oh, because I thought that was genius. I had no idea that was out there.
Yeah, out there.
Did you communicate with any prepper type of people to write this book?
There was one, yeah. I had a connection through my assistant who knew one, and so I was able to briefly do that. But the rest was just plain old research and it's like a weird guilty pleasure researching all these things.
It seems like it would be. Yeah. And I read that you do a lot of research before you start writing.
I'm a little obsessive.
Yeah.
It's a good chance to like watch a bunch of TV shows about this stuff too. So.
Oh, wow. True. That's a good point. Yeah. It's research. Yeah. Hey, it's all research.
It's research. I'm researching. Leave me alone.
That's really funny. And then like speaking about OCD, you've talked about your struggles with OCD, but your main character Winter also had it. And I felt for her when, you know, it's the end of the world. They're not going to be making this, medication for her anymore. And that would send me, if it was me, into a panic situation. How are you able to overcome some of the challenges you face because of this? Do you use it to your advantage?
Living with
at all?
OCD can be very difficult. And if you're in a really tough part of it, if you're going, you know, kind of into a spiral, it can be extremely debilitating. And I think people who don't have it may not know that. They just think you wash your hands a lot and your home is really tidy and, they want you to come organize their home for them.
I know.
I am really good at that, actually.
Yeah.
So I do like cleaning drawers and, you know, there's no junk drawers in my house, but but it's very debilitating and it's exhausting because a big part of OCD that people don't see is having intrusive thoughts about things that could happen or, you know, things like, you know, did I just run over somebody on the highway and I didn't know it, you know, and you have to go back and look
check.
And make sure.
Yeah.
So it can be really tough. And I think having supportive family members and friends is one of the most important things, because having those people around who understand you and who have taken the time to learn more about what life is like for you. I mean, that's just been a lifesaver for me.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, and in fact, I was reading a really great blog entry you have on your website, and you were talking about that, how you have this great fear and trepidation regarding every book that you publish, despite being this extremely successful, author.
Oh, I'm always scared.
And how that support system is so important to you.
Yeah, it is. Mm. Yeah, I think anything you do, I mean, we're all afraid of stuff, you know, every single day. We're afraid 100 times about something.
Right.
And I just think being really proactive about surrounding yourself with people who are positive and encouraging is so important, whatever your challenges are.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And speaking of surrounding yourself, I think your mom recently published a book. Did you assist or push her on getting published?
So my mom wrote this. It's a very small booklet. It's like a guide about how to pack it light with, you know, carry only a carry-on to travel and see the world, basically, which is what she does. Uh-huh. And she was getting ready to go on this cruise down the Danube River and all this. And she was talking about how she's all ready and packed and all this. And I said, you know, Mom, why don't you write just a book or something about how to do that? Because a lot of people would love to do that, but just really don't know how. And she got so excited. My mom, who's, you know, 76 years old. And she said, oh. And she said, okay, I'm going to go start. And I was like, okay, great. This is really good for her. You know, she's retired. She travels and stuff. But this will be something fun for her to do. She calls me the next day and she goes, I'm done. And I was like, what? I was like, you have not paid your dues. You didn't cry over this. You didn't sink into depression ever.
What the hell is wrong with her?
Just went off and did it.
That's really funny.
So she's got this booklet out now called Traveling Well with Less, and it's 99¢. And
that's awesome.
I'm really proud of her.
Yeah.
That's like that character from The Accidental Tourist.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Traveling from his armchair.
I think your mom's next book should be, you tell her she can write this one, How to Raise a Successful Author. How about yeah. that?
she's working on right now about how to save, you know, money, basically, how to trim down your expenses, because she used to teach personal finance. And I was like, you need to write a booklet on how to save $5,000 a year or something like that. And she was like, yeah. Okay, I'll go do that. And I was like,
perfect. Yeah. I'll see you next week.
Seriously?
I'll be all done.
See you next week.
If I'm going to write something, I have to like procrastinate for a month and then get psyched up and then, you know, all this stuff. And she just goes off and does it. So
what's your favorite procrastination activity?
Watching TV. I love binge watching stuff. On my phone, especially because, I'm 50 years old. So the novelty of watching TV on my phone.
No wonder your AirPods are dead, for God's sakes.
I know. That's right. It's like, it's the novelty is just incredible.
That's really
so
amazing.
Small,
I've lost
though.
The number of times I've dropped it on my face in bed when I've like fallen asleep, and you drop your phone.
Pasta, they've got these things called iPads. They're much bigger,
and
you can still hold it in bed.
Really break your nose. Yeah.
Oh my
god. It's like she's a teenager. I like that.
What are some of the last the best shows you've been binging lately?
Well, right now I'm watching one called Good Behavior, and so that's kind of, I've like watched all the Usual Suspects already.
Yeah.
I mean, I've like all the normal stuff people are watching. I've already watched it all. I just saw one called Messiah on Netflix that was fascinating.
Oh,
and
wow.
Picard comes out this week on CBS All Access, and I am so here for that.
Yeah, wow. Are you Trekkie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The new Jean-Luc Picard one with Patrick Stewart.
Oh, yeah. He's coming back? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. You got to. Wow. Oh, what? What? Where
I know. I know. Sorry, I don't know where he's from. I cannot.
It's not a TV podcast. It's a book podcast.
I can't account for that.
You have to watch the trailer.
Okay.
It's incredible.
All right.
I love Picard. I grew up watching that. Yeah, with my dad.
Yeah. It's going to be great.
And then we also saw, so this maybe ties in with you're watching, but I read on your website that when you're on a deadline, you write up to 20 hours a day, between 2,000 and 10,000 words
that
a day.
Insane.
I mean, are you able to stop to eat? Are you just like feverishly writing?
Let's see, she's procrastinated so much, she has no choice but to write 20 hours.
I pick up momentum as I go, because, you know, when you start, I might only get a couple hundred words. I mean, that's just a few paragraphs or a page, you know, a day. And, you know, there's kind of this snowball effect as you go, and you're barreling towards the end, and at that point you kind of know where you're going, you have a good idea of how it's going to end, and you're just going.
Wow.
And those last few days before the deadline, I don't bathe. I don't wash my hair. When I finished a single light, I came down. I always finish in the morning, and right around 7:30, it always works out that way. I came down and I said to my husband, I'm done. And he said, oh, that's great, honey. Can you bathe now? I had a legit like dreadlock that had started to fall in the back of my head. And I was wow, this is how it happens.
Oh,
you know,
it's the first step. I love that. Your action scenes in particular are really fantastic to read.
Thank you.
Because I know it was, you know, a post-apocalyptic dystopian, but it also read like an action book to me. And is that something just fun for you to write? Did you have to work on that in your career, or do they kind of come naturally?
Action is hard because it's a lot of choreography, basically.
Yeah, you've got to grab your husband and start fighting him.
You kind of have to like try it out sometimes, and you kind of have to go through the motions, and you have to study things. Like I studied some jujitsu holds and stuff like that. So, but it's action scenes and battles. Those are the two things.
There's
whenever
a great battle.
I have to write one of those, I really have to gear up for it.
I really enjoyed them. Yeah, I could just picture them.
Thank you.
A great job.
I'm glad. Yay.
Yeah, really loved. I mean, just love these books so much.
Oh, thank you.
So is this a trilogy? Are there, tell me. tell me what else I can expect.
It's just the two.
Just the
for
two.
Now.
Darn it.
Yeah.
Okay.
They are in development for television. So, Our production team is pitching to networks. They're in the process of doing that. And we've got a fabulous showrunner named Glenn Whitman, who wrote for Fringe, if you saw that show, and also for The Strain and among others.
Oh, yeah, I love that show.
Yeah. So he's a great writer. I'm really excited to see what they're going to do with it. And so, you know, if it were to progress and there were, you know, people wanting another book eventually, I'm sure that I could be arm twisted into writing another one. It was really hard to let go of these characters. I really, really enjoyed writing Winter. So
yeah,
it's kind of sad to say goodbye.
Yeah. I liked her a lot. It was fun too, probably because you could reintroduce her to like modern life a little bit.
Yeah.
So have her taste French fries and try to feel what it was like. There's, you know, there's people wearing makeup and
Yeah,
imagining that.
All the absurdities of modern life too, kind of, you know, the weird stuff about it and pop culture and
Yeah, there's a lot of weirdness for sure. Oh, speaking of pop culture, I also read on your website that you enjoy playing video games. And it's not a lot of authors that admit to this.
No authors admit to that.
We just got a PlayStation 4 for Christmas.
That's right. What kind of system you working off of there?
PS4, yep. Call of Duty. I should say I'm not very good, but I've got teenage boys. And so sometimes they want to play Call of Duty, and so that's what we do. I've attempted Fortnite. I suck at it. Call of Duty is my. I have a very limited repertoire of games.
Well, I'm sure you could probably just hide behind your sons as they go into battle, you know, and just let them cover for you.
They have to revive me and come rescue me often, but you know, it's okay.
Well, the Spider-Man game is a good one. I'd recommend that one.
Ooh, new Spider-Man. Yeah. Okay, and also that new Star Wars I heard was fun. So.
Yeah, that's supposed to be fun too, as well.
Yeah.
You like to put Easter eggs in your book. Any Easter eggs in this one?
Oh, yeah. So I hid a code in the first book. And so if people are reading it and they think they know what it is, they can go to my website and there's a menu item that says code. And then you go there and you put it in and you have to be able to explain what it is or what it represents. And if you're
That's cool.
It will unlock a big chunk of the beginning of the second book, a bigger chunk than what Amazon will show you. So you can start reading the second one.
That's a great idea.
So, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Have you done that in a lot of your books before, too? Different kinds
I have,
of things?
But I've never really shared them. And, you know, because there's always, you know, when you have to pick different things, you're always MacGyvering stuff from like your own personal life, right? And picking numbers or things or instances or names or whatever it is that have significance to you when you're picking them, but nobody ever knows about that.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
You know?
Like, oh, cool, look at what I used right here. And it's like, what?
It goes right over our heads as the readers. That's for sure.
You want to be able to share that.
So my mom read it though. And she's like, oh, I saw this and I saw that. And your sister's, you know,
that's cool.
So, you know, for people who know me, sometimes they see those.
Stuff that they kind of mentioned. Oh, that's cool. Well, I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your day.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I truly appreciate you having me, and thank you for reading these books. I always appreciate it whenever anybody reads them. So
loved them. Incredibly entertaining. Yeah.
Oh, yay. Well, then my mission is accomplished.
Stayed up late finishing that last one, A Single Light, for sure.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
The Inside Chat. Yep. Great time talking with Tosca. Yeah. Thank you so much for spending a little time with us.
Yeah, thank you so much. Really nice. Great to talk
Are we thanking the listeners or Tosca right now?
I just got a little Tosca.
Confused. All right.
Just thanking Tosca.
Listeners. No.
Thank the
listeners. Let's thank everybody.
I was thanking Tosca.
All right. Well, that was a nice little midweek treat for you guys. That was Tosca Lee, and we'll see you again this weekend on our regularly scheduled episode of The Inside Flap.
That's right.
Talk to you next week.
I'm a little obsessive.